Welcome to Stories After Midnight. Today we'll be reading, Students Are Dropping Out of the Sky at My School. I'm Starting to Understand Why, by Trash Tia. I really hope you enjoy this story, and stick around to the end where I babble on about other things you can find about the channel. Let's get started. On my first day at Monis Academy, a girl dropped out of the sky straight onto the roof of my Uber. At first, I don't think I fully registered what was happening. There was a dead girl splayed out across the paintwork, willowy blonde hair glued to the windshield. I didn't think it was possible for the human body to splinter, coming apart completely. But I was looking at it, her mangled limbs spread out like an angel. She landed upside down, an unearthly grin splitting her mouth apart. And yet, somehow, all I could think of was my Uber driver's early warning. I thought the man was screwing around when he handed me a mask before letting me in the car. I took it uncertainly, rolling it around in my hand. We were 4 years into a pandemic, sure, but I thought the world had returned to a kind of normal. "It's for the sickness," my driver mumbled through his own mask, starting up the car. He must have noticed my confusion. The guy was my dad's age, a stocky man in his early 50s who really liked Taylor Swift. When I slid onto the back seat, he was blasting a love ballad. I could see her entire physical discography piled on the front seat. Maybe he had a daughter. He didn't elaborate on his words, and I leaned back on comfortable upholstery, wearing my mask as instructed. I tried to open the window to let some air in, except they had been manually sealed. I could see a thick paste-like substance gluing them shut. What really set off alarm bells was the plastic screen between me and the driver. The thing reminded me of something straight out of a disaster movie. You know, when Patient Zero is sealed into a plastic tent? I prodded it, and he politely reminded me there was hand sanitizer on the seat next to me. "For your hands," he said, taking a right at the intersection. The whole thing was giving me some serious 2020 PTSD. I had vivid memories of being 14 years old, watching my dad set up a quarantine zone in our living room for visitors. I understood. Dad was an ex-soldier, but the whole quarantine thing terrified me. "Excuse me?" I said, trying to swallow an uneasiness twisting in my gut. I leaned forward, trying to ignore his slight flinch like I was carrying a disease. "What did you mean by sickness?" The driver surprised me with a laugh, nodding his head to his playlist. "Oh, there is no sickness in here," he twisted around, nodding to me. "I would keep that mask on if I were you, sweetheart." I nodded, a sour slime creeping its way up my throat. "What do you mean?" He didn't reply for a moment, tapping his finger on the wheel. "You're the same age as my kid," he said. "Do you have a phone?" I held up my iPhone. Yeah? I could see the crease of a friendly smile in the folds of his mask. "Take a lot of pretty pictures, kid. The school grounds are beautiful, so just concentrate on that, all right?" My driver offered me a two-fingered salute. "Just do not look up." I nodded, responding with an awkward laugh. An hour later, his words slammed into me. "Oh," I thought dizzily, my gaze following rivers of red streaming down the car's windshield. So this was what he meant by "don't look up." Unfortunately, I have the memory of a goldfish. The Uber driver's warning went in one ear and out the other, only making an appearance when I was admiring the school itself, a towering castle-like structure built like something from a fantasy novel. I was drinking in the perfect blue sky, an Instagram-worthy sunset, when she appeared in front of me, falling, plunging, a blur of blonde hair and pleated skirt, before crashing through the roof of my ride. I don't remember screaming, only staring at streaks of scarlet spider webbing down splintered glass, her mangled body sprawled across the windscreen. I was still replaying the last 15 seconds in my head, my expression still frozen, delayed. I was still smiling behind my mask. She landed with a sickening crunch, her eyes still open, her lips frozen like she was laughing in glee. Before I could scream, before I could make any noise, a voice came from behind me. "Masks are not necessary here." I found myself face to face with Mrs. Mayer, the principal. I already knew her face. I had my online induction several days earlier. Mrs. Mayer looked nothing like she did on video chat. Through my screen, I was talking to a woman in her early 40s, a pretty face haloed with rich, red hair. This woman was an imposter. The teacher's smile was stretched a little too thin. She reached out and plucked my mask off my face. but I barely noticed. I was too busy dazedly watching the dead girl's brains pooling between splintered glass. I had never seen the human brain before. I wasn't expecting it to look like a pinkish, veiny slime. I was keenly aware of my stomach trying to violently erupt through my mouth. "Welcome to Monas Academy," Mrs. Mayer said. Two teachers appeared armed with buckets and mops. The power washed the girl's blood from the car, scraping her mangled body onto a piece of plastic. The male teacher dragged her away, and the female teacher started scrubbing the girl's remains from concrete I was standing on. I remember taking slow steps backward, shaking my head because no, this was not happening. Mrs. Mayer's hands grasped onto my shoulders, her fingers grazing my chin, strictly coaxing my eyes to her. "Sarah Ainsley was failing," she murmured, her breath tickling my cheeks. The teacher's lips pricked into a small smile. Her eyes terrified me, hollow caverns I couldn't understand. Mrs. Mayer did not look like a teacher, more like a disheveled mother with three kids. She was in disarray, matted hair pulled into a ponytail, a crumpled dress glued to her stick-like figure. I could smell her, sour body odor hitting my nose and throat. The girl was a lost cause. Her dead eyes sparkled, lips stretching into a sickly grin. She was nowhere near the top. Her soulless gaze followed mine, intrigued. She was drinking me in, studying every piece of me. "Lucy John?" She said my name like I was an enigma, sharp nails digging into my chin. "You were the smartest student in your last school." Mrs. Mayer inclined her head, her expression almost childlike. "What do you say, Her voice was like white noise, waves crashing into my ears. She both did exist and didn't, human and something else entirely, riddled in complexities I was too afraid to look into. When I was a child, I stared up at a starless sky, my gut twisting at the thought of that darkness, that pooling, unending oblivion stretching out forever. Mrs. Mayer gave me that same feeling, an existential terror creeping its way up my spine. The more I was staring at her under the shadow of the setting sun, the teacher's body was twisting and contorting in my blurry vision, morphing into a monster. Her body was suddenly too thin, her head almost balloon-shaped, like she had creeped straight out of my childhood nightmares. Mrs. Mayer prodded my chin with a long, spindly finger. "Will you be able to beat our current reigning champion and tear him from the top spot?" Leaning back, the teacher's lip curled in disgust. In the corner of my eye, the female teacher was picking pieces of skull from her wire brush. "Or will you be another Sarah?" She scoffed, nodding at the ground. I didn't realize I was standing in pooling red, reduced to a pathetic pile of mush. Her words awoke me from my trance, where I was following a stray streak of red down the Uber's window. Now it made sense why his windows were sealed. How many students had plunged through the roof of his car? How many mangled bodies were peeled from his windscreen? I jumped when ice-cold water from the power hose splashed my ankles. Watching the dead girl's blood run clear across the tarmac, I remembered how to move, how to run. "Welcome to Monas Academy," Mrs. Mayer said again when I stumbled back. She folded her arms, regarding me with a small smile. "As you can see, Lucy, our students take their grades very seriously here." "Hey!" The voice was new, coming from above. I lifted my head, my body already reacting, expecting another body to drop. Instead, my gaze found an open window. A brunette with a wide smile and eyes that did not match her frenzied grin. "Run!" she screamed, cupping her mouth. Another open window, this time a guy waving maniacally. His eyes were filled with mania, the same exact insanity drowning Mrs. Mayer. "Are you stupid?" he yelled, his mouth stretched, molded into a laughing smile. His voice, however, was a warning. "Get away from here!" The boy gestured behind me. "Go!" I followed his pointer finger, the gates. At first, my body confused running with throwing up. I was on my knees, heaving up my lunch, and then I was running, throwing myself into a sprint, cheered by two students hanging out the windows. When I risked a look back, Mrs. Mayer was standing with her arms folded, lips pursed. She made no move to run after me. This school was psychotic. I threw myself into a run, falling over my shoes, my head spinning. I could still see her. I could see the world stopping in front of me, the girl's body landing with a sickening crunch, her neck snapping on impact, her spine splintering through glass. Throwing up again, I choked up slimy breakfast bile. "Keep going!" The two students were cheering me on like it was a game. I got as far as the main gates, panting, my hands on my knees. Locked. The sound of engines signaled my Uber leaving campus through a separate exit. "Hey!" I tried to follow when the gate slammed shut behind him. I was trapped. "Have you considered joining the drama club, Lucy?" Mrs. Mayer was standing behind me, holding my luggage. When I looked for the two kids, their windows were shut. "I'm not staying here," I told the teacher, threatening to call the police. My phone was dead, but she didn't know that. I told her I wanted to go home. No, I screamed at her. I told her the school was psychotic and I wanted to leave. Mrs. Mayer handed me my things. Ignoring my freakout, instead of scolding me, she smiled. "I'm expecting great things from you, Lucy. Great things." The way she said it, the words twisted and snake-like on her tongue, like a melody, a hypnotizing murmur lulling my mind. "Great things," I found myself nodding. "Good." Mrs. Mayer handed me my luggage, taking my hand and manually wrapping my fingers around the handle. "Now you should head inside." Her voice was like wind chimes. "Your room number will be on your welcome email." The teacher's voice followed me inside the school, pushing me into an autopilot. "I am expecting great things from you, Lucy. You're going to excel at Monis." The academy itself was bland, like any other old building. I remember the main reception, a room resembling a hotel lobby. There were students mulling around. I dragged myself up a marble staircase to my dorm room. The world didn't feel real. I was pushing my way into the girls' dorm when a group of younger kids ran through, one of them holding a scary-looking knife. The girls were giggling, talking in hushed whispers. When I sidled past them, the group burst out laughing. Monis Academy was a school for psychopaths. I was dazedly staring at our door. When it opened, a head poking through. My roommate was a mousy blonde with pigtails. She told me the devil lived among them, so the teachers were playing a game. "I'm Thea." She introduced herself with that exact same empty smile, vacant eyes that barely found mine. Thea was pretty. I focused on her face instead of the rapidly growing cavern in my mind. I still wasn't sure how I had moved from A to B. I was standing in front of the school gate, and then I was in the girls' dorm, Mrs. Mayer's words still clanging in my skull. I had the potential to be great. I had the potential to be the best. Thea was kneeling in front of me, her head inclined. "Hello?" She waved a manicured hand in front of my face, a frown curving on her lips. "The brain fog should wear off after a while," she murmured. "I smoked weed, though I'd advise against that. Unsurprisingly, weed makes it worse." I didn't respond. It was like being high, but at the same time, I was fully aware of my mind being contorted, rewired, which was kinda ticklish. Like someone was tickling the bare meat of my brain with a feather. When I lightly prodded my right ear, I could feel a certain pressure, like my mind was struggling, expanding in my skull. There was something wet running down the curve of my neck, but I didn't care. "Hey, new kid." My roommate's voice sounded like ocean waves. Thea sighed before slapping me across the face. The world spun and I blinked slowly. I didn't remember sitting down, but I was cross-legged on a plain single bed. Thea loomed over me, her arms folded. "Lucy, right?" I felt myself nod, drowning in Mrs. Mayer's voice. I could be great. I had the potential to be the best. I could claw my way to the top and take the Monis Academy top spot. "Wow." Thea's voice snapped my thoughts to fruition. The girl's hands were planted on her hips. "Mrs. Mayer really did a number on you, didn't she?" I found my voice, choking on words that were not mine. "What did she do to me?" Thea laughed, and I caught the same mania twitching in her eyes. "She didn't do anything to you." Thea rolled her eyes, tipping onto her side, burying her head in an impressive collection of plushies. "It's airborne, so no matter how in denial you are right now, you have it." She mumbled into a stuffed bear. "Like a virus. We're all infected with it the second we walk in here." "It?" I managed to whisper. "Sarah," Thea hummed. "The girl who dived out of her window? Think of her as a host that rejected the virus. She refused to comply, so it killed her. I felt sick. And that's what I'm infected with? She nodded, mumbling into her plushies. Yep. Mrs. Mayer plants the seed with her witchy powers and lures us inside like lambs to the slaughter. But what is it? I demanded. Thea shrugged. She sat up, pulling her legs to her chest. Think of it like a disease, but instead of illness, it's an obsession. Obsession with what? Instead of replying, my roommate crawled off of her bed. She held out her hand for me to shake, entangling her fingers with mine. Her palms were warm, wet, and bloody. I could see reddish pink staining her fingernails. Thea's smile widened when I shuffled back, a screech clawing up my throat. Sorry, she swiped her hand on her shirt. It's from my latest attempt. Attempt? I thought back to the girl plunging to her death. Yeah, Thea said. Nick was in the student lounge earlier, so I figured I'd give it a shot. I stabbed him in the chest, but he was, like, totally fine. He was pushed out the window last night, and again he was okay. Her eyes found mine. Nick is, like, indestructible. Her gaze lazily skimmed the ceiling. But he's also what we all want. A shiver skittered down my spine. What you all want? Thea sighed. The sickness is an obsession with being the best. She flopped onto her bed with a laugh. It makes us crave him. My roommate turned to me, her lips splitting into a nerving grin. Don't worry, you'll start craving him soon. Him. Nicholas Cross, the smartest boy in school, who held the top spot reigning over the school. Thea was right. Once I saw him, I couldn't get him out of my head. It started subtly, a hollow thought at the back of my mind that I wanted to get closer to him. But once I was close enough, next to him in class, breathing in his scent and suddenly conscious of every movement he made, I understood what my roommate was talking about. The parasite inside my brain, planted on my first day, began to slowly eat away at my thoughts until there was no one else but him. Nicholas Cross, rich brown curls, sculpted in the school's prestigious uniform. A mind that I was ravenous for. A hierarchy position I needed to rip from him. Obsession became infatuation, and then something more. I started to talk to him in class, trying to make conversation, but I couldn't freaking think straight. My hands were shaking, my gut twisting into knots. His presence was suffocating, twisting infatuation to envy, and envy to hate. Nicholas Cross was a target every day. I walked into English class to find two boys pushing him out the window. He was fine, appearing an hour later, picking strands of glass out of his hair. Two girls slashed him through the stomach in the cafeteria. He ignored them, continuing to eat his sandwich. The quiet girl sitting in front of us twisted around halfway through class and stabbed him straight through the skull. I remember watching his blood spatter on my paper, red droplets stemming across my desk. I wanted to see more of it. My poison thoughts screamed. I wanted to spill his blood myself. That was the first thought that wasn't mine, spreading through me like wildfire until I was resisting the urge to lick the boy's blood from my desk. Again, Nicholas was fine. He calmly pulled out the knife, handing it back to the girl who took it with trembling hands. Better luck next time, Ella. He winked and the girl started screeching. The teacher didn't care, ignoring Ella's mental breakdown. When she slammed her head into her desk hard enough to burst her nose, he continued teaching. I thought I could stay myself. I thought this so-called sickness wouldn't affect me. But then I found myself falling in love with not just him, but his mind. I wanted to understand it, to rip it open and study it myself. So I proposed a study session, which he laughed at. I'm good, Nicholas said, raising a brow. I'm not the one who needs a study session. Harsh, but I wasn't going to give up. How about we just hang out? The words were spilling from my lips before I could stop them. Nicholas shrugged. Sure. His lips formed a smile. How about 8? Do you want to hang in your room or mine? I told him my room, and we made plans to watch a movie. Thea immediately suggested killing him, but I was more interested in getting to know the guy. There had to be a reason why he was the top student, why the whole school wanted him dead. 8 p.m. came, and there was no sign of him. I waited 10 minutes, then 20, half an hour, 45 minutes. As I kind of expected, he didn't turn up. When I confronted him in class, he mocked a double take. Wait, you were serious? Nick laughed. Why would I hang with someone like you? Aren't you ranked like 18th? I was, but that didn't matter. When I started to lose touch with reality, my grades did not matter. When I started wanting to kill this boy, my grades did not matter. What did matter was plucking Nicholas Cross off the top spot and taking it for myself. Days blurred into one, and this sickness began to take hold. I lost myself sinking into a pit of envy that swallowed me up, polluting my thoughts with scenarios where I had the top spot. It was a craving I couldn't control, stronger than any black market drug. I stopped sleeping, using all my time to carry out the perfect murder. Thea told me I was falling, drowning like her. She told me sucking on candy helped, meditation, video games, but I couldn't concentrate. Everything reminded me of him. I wanted to be better than him. Mrs. Mayer said I could be better than him. Started losing time, and finding it, and losing it again. The academy became a prison. I forgot where the exits were. I forgot there was a world outside this school. Sometimes I caught myself sleepwalking, my teacher's words stringing me along. The parasite in my head was in full control, and the drug I couldn't get enough of had twisted me into a monster I could not recognize. I found myself rocking back and forth in bed. In my lost time, I killed Nicholas Cross 3 times. I drowned him in the indoor swimming pool. I woke up when he was lying down facing the water. I should have felt something, but Mrs. Mayer's voice praised me. She told me I had done a great job, but I was yet to kill the devil. The next morning, Nicholas came to class with a smile, his hair still damp and stinking of chlorine. He slumped down in his seat, still soaking wet. "Morning, Lucy." His grin snapped what little of my sanity I had left. I suffocated him with Thea's pillow, only for him to return it a half hour later, apologizing for the bloodstains. Mrs. Mayer told me to get creative, chastising me for being so stupid. I stabbed him in the chest, only fully waking up when he was laughing, dying in my arms. Nick joined me for lunch the following day, offering me his peanut butter and jelly sandwich. When he slid the knife over too, I choked on my lunch. Nick nodded at me, grinning through his sandwich. "Isn't it a great day?" he said loudly, leaning his chin on his fist. "Don't you think so, Lucy?" He cocked his head, his eyes bright. "Can I call you Luce, like Lucy Goosey?" "His eyes," Mrs. Mayer whispered in my ear. "The eyes of the devil." Nicholas Cross was not dying, and this thing was in full control. I tried to escape the school when I regained a semblance of my mind, but Mrs. Mayer was waiting for me with those exact same words that bewitched me in the first place. She told me I could be better than him, but that all it took was thinking outside the box. Her invisible tendrils were too deep, too ingrained into me. I followed her orders, and like I was dancing, floating in a dream, I crept into Nick's room, my teacher's voice molding my mind into her puppet. Taking the sharpest knife from the dorm kitchen, a butcher blade, I sliced Nicholas Cross into pieces when he was curled up in bed. It was the first time he looked human, but the sight of him almost woke me up, almost stopped me. "What are you waiting for, Lucy? Do you want to be the best or not?" I did. So I cut into him. When his blood splattered my face, I fought back, fought to stop, but Mrs. Mayer told me to keep going. "You're doing so well. Sever the demon." I continued, hacking him apart, forcing the blade through muscle and bone. Nicholas's roommate watched me with a dazed smile. When I caught his eye, he started laughing. "He'll come back," the boy chuckled. "Don't you think I've tried that?" The knife slipped from my fingers, but Mrs. Mayer's voice was still in my head, so loud like claps of thunder. I had to be the best. Panicking, I grabbed a piece of Nick and stuffed his flesh into my mouth. I chewed, barfed, forcing it down with water. My body worked like a marionette, my teacher cheering me on. I snapped out of it when I was chewing my way through his torso. "Yes, Lucy, what a creative idea." When I was on my knees, covered in Nicholas Cross's blood, I waited for him to come back, to magically piece himself back together, but he didn't. I walked into class, narrowly missing a girl trying to stab me through the eye. Thea tried to asphyxiate me in my sleep. I took Nick's spot, immediately cementing myself into the middle of my classmates. With him dead and gone, I was the top student. but I was also free of the parasite in my brain and fully aware of what I had done. Mrs. Mayer's voice was gone and I was a damn monster. It didn't take long for the students to crave me. They wanted to take my spot, their frenzied eyes following my every move. Thea tried to kill me last night again. She apologized, but I know she's not going to give up. I have my own problems, though. I'm really gassy and I can't stop throwing up. This morning I knelt on the bathroom floor for 3 hours, giving up nothing, but I can already feel him. He's been in my stomach for days, slowly stitching himself back together. His fingers are there, I can feel them. He's clawing his way back up my throat, expanding in my mouth, phantom fingers protruding through my gnawing lips, trying to force them open. Please help me. I'm at Monis Academy and I just ate the top student. I know we don't exist on any Google search, but I promise you we're here and we need help. I'm so scared of what's inside me, what I've done. There's a sickness here that turns us into monsters, a devil who is playing games. Nicholas Cross wants to retake his top spot. I clamp my mouth shut, but he just laughs. He wails at me, telling me I killed the wrong devil. And so did the girl who held the top spot before Nicholas. An endless echo of students. They're never going to stop, never going to leave me alone. All of them inside me, inside Nicholas, because no matter what I do, they are always going to come back. And that's the end of the story. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please subscribe for more and like the video. I would absolutely love that. More than a cat would love to be on a table full of antique glassware. That is how much I would love it. If you're listening anywhere else, I don't know what your options are, but I appreciate you being here. A huge shout out to my patrons for helping make this episode possible. Your support means the most. If you'd like to come hang out with us, there is a Discord. All of this stuff will be in the description of this video and podcast episode. I hope we see you there to say hello. With that said, if you'd like to send me your story, go to storiesaftermidnight.com where you can find a link to do so. With that said, we'll see you in the next one.